الله اكبر الله اكبر اشهد ان لا اله الا الله اشهد ان لا اله الا الله اشهد ان محمد رسول الله اشهد ان محمد رسول الله حي على الصلاه حي على الصلاه حي على الفلاح حي على الفلاح قد قامت الصلاه قد قامت الصلاه الله اكبر الله اكبر لا اله الا الله
الله اكبر الله أكبر سمع الله لمن حمده الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر سمع الله لمن حمده الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر سمع الله لمن حمده الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر سمع الله لمن حمده الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر السلام عليكم ورحمة الله السلام عليكم ورحمة الله استغفر الله استغفر الله استغفر الله ابھی چندہ جامعہ بولا رامپور حسینیہ بنگلہ دیش کا ہے، تمام حضرات سے گزارش کی جاتی ہے کہ وہ اپنے زکوٰۃ صدقات اور اللہ سے تعاون کر کے جائیں۔ بسم اللہ الرحمن الرحیم، الحمد للہ رب العالمین، والصلاۃ والسلام علی سیدنا محمد وعلی آلہ وصحبہ اجمعین۔ اللہم لک الحمد کما لک الشکر، اللہم لک الحمد کما اثنیت کما یا احد الصمد اللهم برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين. Inshallah, there will be a talk in the English language. Any brothers wanting to sit are requested to come close by to the member in the pulpit. Shukran jazeera. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي ونسلم على رسوله الكريم أما بعد إن شاء الله تعالى In today's short session we have I aim to discuss something which is more than not only relevant but also prevalent in this day and age. The first point I want to address relates to this dua we normally read between every 4 units of the Taraweeh prayer. Normally we see within our masajid, we have boards at the front. If we have screens upon the screens, we have this dua written down. And our elders for many years have been reading this dua. And many of us also do not only read this dua, but we are very, very particular with the reading of this dua. The dua we all know is Subhana dhil mulki wal malakut. Subhana aage kya? See, everyone knows it so well. Theek hai na? That's all I wanted to show to everyone, that we all know it very, very well. It's more than possible there are certain chapters within the 30th juz we are not familiar with, but we are all familiar with this dua we refer to as the dua of the Taraweeh prayer. I've been to certain masajid, and also within our masjid I've experienced this as well, that as soon as 4 units come to an end, then some brothers read it very aloud. And their intention is that kahi imam bahut jaldi se khara na ho jaye aur hamari dua chhoot jaye. So they'll read it very aloud, Subhana dhil mulki wal malakut, and they'll come to the end, Ya Mujiru, Ya Mujiru, Ya Mujir. Now the imam's got permission to stand up again. So we are very particular with this. And being particular with du'as is something very, very important. Within the glorious Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions that Udu'uni astajib lakum. Call out to myself, I will respond to you. Allah ta'ala mentions, وَإِذَا سَأَلَكَ عِبَادِي عَنِّي. O Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when they question you regarding myself, فَإِنِّي قَرِيبٌ, let them know I am close to them. أُجِيبُ دَعْوَةَ الدَّاعِ إِذَا دَعَانٌ. Whenever a supplicator makes a supplication, I respond to it. The hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions, الدُّعَاءُ مُخُّ الْعِبَادَةِ. Dua is the essence of worship. And in another hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions, الدُّعَاءُ هُوَ الْعِبَادَةِ. Dua in reality within itself is worship. Why, my brothers? The simple reason is that the main ingredient that makes a worship a form of worship is humility and humbleness. It requires submission from ourselves. It comes to salah. I will only perform my salah if I accept and acknowledge Allah Ta'ala is greater than myself, due to which I will then bow down and prostrate before Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. It comes to the worship of Hajj. I will only undertake this journey and spend much money
go to the amazing, astonishing, righteous places if I acknowledge that the instruction of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is something that is more superior in comparison to what I like in the form of my wealth, my possessions, and the materialistic world? A worship becomes a worship due to the humility present within it. And once it comes to dua, there is nothing but humbling oneself before Allah ta'ala within it. From the beginning, we may say, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. We've already raised our hands, we've lowered our heads, we start to allow tears to flow down our cheeks. This is humility, and we continue on, and even when we say, maybe at the end, wa akhiru da'wana anilhamdulillahi rabbil alameen, there is nothing but humility within this act of worship of ours. My brothers, we need to make it a habit to make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We live in a time where we now assume that we have explanations for everything and we have solutions and cures for everything. Ek zamana wota, then that when people would fall prey to an illness and there was no medicine at that time to cure that illness, they would raise their hands to Allah Ta'ala and ask Allah Ta'ala to cure themselves. But now we have various medicines for various illnesses. People have now started to rely upon this medication and they no longer pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned that even if a person's need relates to the laces upon his footwear, he should make this apparent through supplication in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We need to connect to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And my brothers, this month of Ramadan has been granted us from Allah Ta'ala for this only reason, that during the day we build our consciousness of Allah Ta'ala through the means of fasting. لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ. And once we have gained this God consciousness, we then recite the glorious Quran, we communicate, we converse with Allah Ta'ala during the night, هُدًى لِلْمُتَّقِينَ, in order to then gain guidance through the glorious Quran. We live in a time where many a people are making many an efforts subconsciously to take us away from communicating and conversing with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You may have come across those brothers who are not very familiar with the Quran and Sunnah, and upon the completion of prayer, they will say to you that there is no need for dua, there is no concept of dua, just leave the masjid. What is the need to make dua after prayer? This is now taking us away from communicating with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And like I mentioned, these brothers subconsciously take us towards this path. Why? Because they themselves have no idea of the Quran and Sunnah. We think about supplication after prayer, whether it's through the means of logic, reason, or whether it's in light of the sunnah of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it's not only commendable, but it is also required. Someone goes to work, and after they finished work, they will go to the person who has employed them, they will put their hands out, and they will say that, can you give us something in return of what we've now done for you? No one will say, Saifuddin, this is foolish. Finish working, don't go to the one who's employed you, just go home, there is no need to take anything from him. My brother's dua in reality is this exact same thing. We pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, starting with Allahu Akbar. We finish with Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Now comes the time to ask Allah ta'ala for the reward of this prayer. This is the supplication we make logically, and once we look towards reason, it makes total sense. And we find a hadith of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in which the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions, ثَلَاثُ دَعَوَاتٍ مُسْتَجَابَاتٍ. Three supplications are more readily accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we need to understand this, my brothers. Sometimes we supplicate to Allah ta'ala and we become despondent. I may supplicate to Allah ta'ala, O Allah ta'ala, I have an illness, please cure this illness for myself. I lower my hands and years continue, I continue with the same illness, and that same illness then becomes the means of my demise. So many people are such that in such circumstances and scenarios, they become despondent of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. My brothers, remember, Allah ta'ala accepts every single prayer of ours. Some of the scholars have gone to such an extent that they have mentioned, we have no right to become despondent once it comes to Allah ta'ala accepting our supplications. Why? Because if there was anyone who could truly become despondent, it was Iblis. But when Iblis put certain requests before Allah ta'ala, before made to exit paradise, Allah ta'ala accepted them. And he said, I will allow you to go upon the earth and deviate people and take them alongside yourself to the hellfire. When the ulama mentioned that the supplication of Iblis was accepted, then what are we compared to Iblis? Nothing whatsoever. We say, A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim. Shaytan is rejected. Shaytan is the accursed. None of us have that label alongside our name during this worldly life. We will only ever know whether we are accepted or rejected in the court of Allah ta'ala once our eyes close and the angels receive us within our graves. Yes, there are times wherein apparent it may seem Allah Ta'ala has not accepted my prayer. My brothers, remember, Allah Ta'ala has even accepted that prayer. But Allah Ta'ala's acceptance of prayer comes in three different forms. I can remember during the year, something in addition, there was a lovely brother of mine, he said, Jigari dost, saath mein chakkari dost bhi hai. Theek hai na? Jigari dost wa chakkari dost. A beloved friend of mine. May Allah bless him. During the course of the year, we were sitting somewhere and he pulled out his phone and he said to me, Saifuddin, you need to listen to this podcast. You need to listen to this podcast. I said, I don't listen to podcasts. He said, no, you need to listen to this one. I said, why? He said, oh, there's a talk about Al-Aqsa. There's a talk about the red heifers. No one discusses this within our communities. I said to him, my brother, where were you last Ramadan? I said, we had two talks on this. People came from far and wide to listen to those talks. They were circulated globally. You were sitting within the masjid reading the Quran and now you're complaining, Saifuddin, where's the talk gone? Sometimes we should leave aside our worship and listen to what a scholar may have to say. Why? That scholar may save through a lecture of his during the month of Ramadan after Asr. Never mind your action or your characteristics, he may save your faith and your iman. Now, I was really meant to talk about this dua. Subhanadil Mujiru Ya Mujir, this dua. And why am I discussing this? If I have this intention that this dua is sunnah, and it is being taught by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and I practice and read this dua with this intention, then this dua will not bring me Allah's pleasure, rather it will attract Allah Ta'ala's wrath. Yes, so imagine there's a brother reading the Quran, very, very good. But if you are not aware of this piece of information, and every Ramadan, after every four units of the Taraweeh prayer, you read this dua with the intention, this is established from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you are not receiving mercy and forgiveness and pardoning from Allah Ta'ala upon the reading of this dua. You are distancing yourself very far from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So let me continue. Three different ways Allah Ta'ala accepts supplications. Now how important is this? Let me explain the importance. In the Quran, Allah Ta'ala says, إِنَّهُ لَا يَيْأَسُ مِن رَحْمَةِ اللَّهِ إِلَّا الْقَوْمُ الْكَافِرُونَ. It is only a disbelieving people who become despondent once it comes to Allah Ta'ala's mercy. Mayusi, despondency, hopelessness, this is kufr and disbelief. And this is what Shaytan tries to take us all towards. He will try to make us despondent once it comes to the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The first manner in which Allah Ta'ala accepts our supplication is Allah Ta'ala will give myself and yourselves that exact thing we request from Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. I make a supplication that, O Allah Ta'ala, I require such and such a worldly thing, it is my need, O Allah Ta'ala, bless me with it. The first form of acceptance is Allah Ta'ala will bless me with that thing as soon as I ask for that thing. The second form of acceptance, once it comes to Allah Ta'ala and supplications, is that Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala will not give me the thing I ask for, but Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala will remove a calamity that was about to fall upon me in the near future. Let me give you an example. Someone comes to me and I say to them, Yaad, you've got so much ability. Why do you not just give me a Lamborghini? He doesn't do so. I start becoming despondent. But what he does do is that when I was about to walk outside the masjid, a car was about to run me over. Never mind Lamborghini, nothing would have remained relevant. So he, due to my supplication, rather than giving me a Lamborghini, he calls the council and he gets some traffic lights put up, due to which, before I get to cross, I press the button upon the traffic light, the red light comes on, the car stops and I save my life. If he comes to me and says, Saifuddin, I never gave you a Lamborghini, but I saved your life, I'll say, brilliant, you couldn't have done anything better than this. I'd say, you understand my needs better than me. This is your mercy, that rather than giving me a Lamborghini that may have remained relevant for 5 seconds, you granted me a continuation within my life for 60 more years in which I continue to remain, receive blessings of Allah Ta'ala. And the third form of acceptance is, Allah Ta'ala will not give us anything during this worldly life. But in the hereafter, when we stand, Allah Ta'ala will grant us the reward of those supplications. And the reward will be so great that a person will wish none of his prayers were accepted in any of the two first forms during his worldly life. My brothers, du'as we are always to make, Allah Ta'ala will always accept them. If not in a manner we can comprehend, then in a manner we can't comprehend. But Allah will grant us far better than what we initially asked from Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. So, thalathu da'awatin mustajabat, three supplications are most readily accepted by Allah Ta'ala. And one supplication the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam mentions is duburu salawatil maktubat, the supplication made after the obligatory prayers. Imagine, we've performed salah. Allah Ta'ala is so pleased with us. And the more pleased a person is with you, when you then extend your hands to them, the more of a chance there is that person is going to accept your request and give you what you request from him. I'm sitting here. A student brings me a glass of water outside the month of Ramadan, yes? Or outside the fast, otherwise it won't lead to my pleasure. It may lead to a bruised face or something. So he rings, well actually I'm not even that strong, you've seen my state, yes, weak person. May Allah Ta'ala grant us all spiritual strength that gets us through this worldly life in a manner that we stand and Allah Ta'ala is pleased with us within the hereafter. Yeh jism toh temporary hai, aarizi hai. Kitne waqt ke liye, 80 saalon ke liye humare saath hoga. Uske baad yeh rooh pura kaam karne wali hai. Toh is par humne mehnat asal karni hai. So he brings me a glass of water, I'm not fasting. So I have the glass of water, I feel refreshed. Now if he's intelligent, he will say, Saifuddin, can you give me a break during this lesson of ours? I'll say, yes. There's more chances I accept this request in comparison to if he comes to me without giving me a cool glass of water. In a similar manner, if we make dua to Allah Ta'ala, normally Allah will accept. Why? Because Allah Ta'ala's doors are ever open for us. But if we please Allah Ta'ala through the means of salah, and then we supplicate to Allah Ta'ala after the salah, there are more chances Allah Ta'ala will accept this prayer in the exact manner we request from Him. So we need to make an intention today, my brothers, that dua is something we are to bring into our lives. Yes, some of us think, Yaar, how can I raise my hands? Everyone's watching. That's the purpose of dua. Some of us think, yeah, that person is going to see me making dua and he's going to realize, yeah, this guy needs something. Yeah, we all need Allah Ta'ala. Who doesn't need Allah Ta'ala? I might not need Zayd, Amr, or Bakr, but I and every single person needs Allah Ta'ala. Ya ayyuha nasu antumul fuqara'u ila Allah. That we are all totally dependent upon Allah Ta'ala. Wallahu huwa al-ghaniyul hamid. Allah Ta'ala is the truly independent. And even if it comes to a time during the night, our eye opens, we can't get to sleep, there's no need to raise the hands, my brothers. There's not even a need to verbally express our requirements before Allah Ta'ala. Even the thought of the mind and heart is known by Allah Ta'ala, and He will value, cherish, accept and respond to that as well. The verse of the Qur'an I mentioned, أُجِيبُ دَعْوَةَ الدَّاعِ إِذَا دَعَانَ. Allah doesn't mention asma'a, I hear the supplicator of the supplication. Allah mentions ujib, I respond. That means that even if a thought crosses your heart and mind that relates to supplicating from Allah Ta'ala, Allah Ta'ala is aware of that and Allah Ta'ala will grant you that as well. So dua, we've gone a little bit off track. So there's this thing people read, yes, Subhanadil Mulki wal Malakut, it continues on. Regarding this, my brothers, we all need to remember that this pause we have after every 4 units of the Taraweeh prayer, technically in the Sharia, we refer to this as a Taraweeha. And the reason for why we refer to the Taraweeh prayer through the word Taraweeh is that we have multiple such breaks within our entire Taraweeh prayer. So you've got one such break after 4 units, you say Taraweeha, singular in the Arabic language. You've got 2 such breaks, you say Taraweehatan in the Arabic language, dual. And when you've got 3 or more such breaks, which means at the minimum 12 units of the Taraweeh prayer, then we refer to that as Taraweeh. What are we to do after these 4 units? We are to engage in any form of Allah Ta'ala's worship without thinking there is a special virtue to any particular form of worship. So it's not necessary we make a dua. We can also opt for salat ala Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We can also opt for voluntary units of prayer. We can't do that. Why? Because even when the imam sits for 5 more seconds, then people behind stand up, that imam, you're getting late. Your wife's waiting for you at home. Samjena, uske baad jo chalta hai, wo to hum yaha baat nahi karne wale. But everyone thinks the imam's really busy at home with his wife. So as soon as 10 extra seconds pass, they say, imam needs to get home now. In the time, let's pay attention, of Imam Malik rahimahullahu ta'ala, who was a resident of Al-Madinatul Munawwara, after every 4 units of the Taraweeh prayer, in Al-Madinatul Munawwara, the people used to perform 4 voluntary units of prayer. Hum is baat ko khub samajh le. Aur isse ek shubha bhi dur ho jayega. Wo ye ke Imam Malik rahmatullahi alayhi, jo Madinatul Munawwara ke bashinde the, unke zamane mein Taraweeh ki har 4 rakaaton ke baad 4 nafal ada kiye jate the. Why? Because in Makkatul Mukarrama, they had the house of Allah Ta'ala, due to which after every 4 units they used to perform a tawaf. Unke zehen dekho, unke qulub, unke dil dekho. And look at our concept and our frame of mind in this day and age. The people of Makkatul Mukarrama used to do a quick tawaf and we do a quick WhatsApp. Farak to a gaya na? Farak to a gaya. Some people say that hum rijal wa nahnu rijal, the companions were normal people and we are normal people. What's the difference between us? Zameen asman ka farq hai hum dono ke darmiyan. So those in Makkatul Mukarrama, after every 4 units of the Taraweeh prayer, they used to perform tawaf. But obviously in Al-Madinatul Munawwara, there was no Ka'batullah. So they replaced the tawaf with 4 voluntary units of prayer. Now if we do the maths, we'll come to realize that if we add 4 voluntary units after every 4 units of the Taraweeh prayer, we've got 20 plus 16, that equals 36. And this is a reason for why within the Maliki school of thought, one opinion we find is of 36 units, 36 raka'at. Why? 20 of Taraweeh and 16 of those voluntary 4 units that were performed after every Taraweeha, after every 4 units of the Taraweeh prayer. So those in Makkatul Mukarrama, unhone tawaf kar liya. Aur aaj kal ka zamana to dekho, look at today's day and age, that they say, forget 20 units. Never mind the tawaf after every 4 units within the 20, we're going to opt for 10 now. Such a big change. And the more further away we get from the time of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, my brothers, this is the only thing we're now going to see. Ibadat mein kami aati jayegi, nawafil bilkul khatam ho jayenge, sunan par log aitiraz karenge, mushkil se mushkil farz logo ki zindagiyon mein baki rahega. My brothers, we are experiencing the time. People overlook voluntary units of prayer. They've started raising fingers towards those units of prayer we say are sunnah. And they barely have obligatory units of prayer left within their lives. And people are screaming, why are people leaving Islam? When you've got the main act of worship after Iman, which is Salah, and we are now watering that down to an extent, it's like it's non-existent within the life of a Muslim. How can we expect Iman to remain within our lives? My brothers, let me tell you, I do give talks. Yes, I travel different places. Logical arguments, examples, rational arguments. My brothers, I'll tell you, wallahi al-azim, the reason for why people find themselves in such scenarios is because once it comes to the fortress of righteous actions in which the iman is residing, the fortress has become weak and shaitan is plucking at our faith and our iman now. Prayers going, people don't even go for hajj anymore, my brothers. It comes to hajj, they say, oh, beti ki shadi karwani hai. What? Hajj comes before everything. Wo humne ghar khareedna hai. Ghar to jannat mein hoga, dunya mein kaun sa ghar aapne banana hai. All these, and we delay hajj. Yes, we miss prayers. It comes to the fasts of the month of Ramadan. Chote chote bahane bana karke hum Ramadan ke roze bhi chhod dete hai. Thoda sa lamba ho gaya hai. And never mind that, my brothers. We look to every other aspect of our deen of Islam. We're watering it down in a manner. Nothing even remains once it comes to the practical element of our Islam. You see a Muslim walking outside a non-Muslim, what's the difference? Farak kya raha ab dono mein? Yes, the only difference you can normally tell is there's two people walking past Nurul Islam. It's prayer time. One guy goes in, we say Muslim. The other guy continues, we say not Muslim. What else differentiates between a Muslim and a non-Muslim? Ab to fashion bhi shuru. Non-Muslims have got beards as well. Haan, unki mooche hamare Punjabiyon ki moochon se bhi lambi ho gayi hai. Wo tel laga ke yu malish bhi kar lete hai. What's the difference, my brothers? Yes, they've got headgear on as well. It's becoming fashion within them. Our sunnah is now becoming a fashion within them, due to which in external appearance, they also have the sunnah within their lives. What's going to differentiate, my brothers, is our salah and is our prayer. Allah save us all. My brothers, imagine this scenario. Imagine there was a huge earthquake in England. So many people lost their lives. And it's the same scenario. Yes, Muslims, non-Muslims have beards. Once it comes to the clothing, there's hardly any difference. How are they going to differentiate? The only thing I can think of is they're going to say, who used to go to the masjid? Who's going to vouch for who? This guy masjid, okay, bury him in a Muslim's graveyard. This guy never used to go to the masjid. All the rest look the same as him in external appearance anyway. Therefore, a non-Muslim's graveyard. My brothers, you know these moments Allah Ta'ala gives us, the moments to change. It's easy for me to hear, sit here and give her a lecture. I can do it 30 days of the month of Ramadan. If my life does not change due to my lecture, wallahi al-azim, my lecture has gone to waste. If Ramadan comes and goes and there's no permanent change in our lives, wallah, our Ramadan will stand against us in the hereafter. You know, we've got all these efforts, yes? The Tablighi brothers, they do ta'aleem in the masjid, they go for gush, they go out in the path of Allah Ta'ala. My brothers, let's remain connected with the deen of Allah Ta'ala. How many people go to Darul Ulooms? Yes, we ask in our community, how many people study in Darul Ulooms? 0.1% will go to Darul Ulooms. We'll say the remainder, after they've been to Maktab, where do they go? They roam around on the streets. Connect with the tabligh, my brothers. You'll remain connected with the masjid. You'll remain connected with the Qur'an. You'll remain connected with the sunnah. You'll have practical deen within your lives. Your akhlaq will remain somewhat decent. Once we leave our maktab, we then leave our deen. Why? Because we've got no connection with any effort of deen. So I was saying, in Makkatul Mukarrama Tawaf, Allahu Akbar. In Madinatul Munawwara, imagine if we were there, we'd say, Yaar Kaaba yaha hai hi nahi to kuch karne ki kya zarurat? Waha Kaaba tha unke paas yaha hai hi nahi hamare paas. This would have been our attitude, that in Makkatul Mukarrama, they have the house of Allah Ta'ala, so after every 4 units, they circulate it 7 times. In Madinatul Munawwara, we don't even have the Kaaba, so why do we need to do anything for? My brothers, we don't even have that zeal for deen anymore. Imam Malik, his followers, they said, we don't have the Kaaba, but it doesn't mean we don't have Allah Ta'ala. We should perform 4 voluntary units of prayer, and we should please our Allah Ta'ala even further, because we know He becomes pleased by us standing within His court during the night. They used to perform 36 units like this. And the reason I'm mentioning this, my brothers, is that once it comes to the Taraweeh prayer, correct opinions, you've got 20, and they go up to 39. Let's pay attention to this. This is how we've become enslaved to our desires now. Yes? You've got 20 and they go to 39. I've explained why 36. Why 39? You add 3 witr units on, from 36 it becomes 39. Everyone will say, Yaar, if there's one, we'll go for it. No one will ever mention 39. Humme wo jazba raha hi nahi amal ka. Hona to yu chahiye tha. کہ ایک ہمارے سامنے اوپینین آتا 39 رکعت تراویح کا اور دوسری طرف ایک رکعت کا اگر آ جاتا تو ہم یہ کہتے کہ 39 کو ہم نے لینا ہے اللہ کو خوش کرانے کے لیے لیکن وہ چھوڑو اگر 0 کا بھی مل جائے تو ہم اس کو فالو کرنے میں اپنے آپ کو ہیرو سمجھیں گے نمبر 2 I'm mentioning this why because during every 4 units of prayer you can do tawaf, you can perform voluntary units of prayer, you can recite durood salata ala nabi, you can do whatever you feel like. We have nothing established in particular from the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam in this regard. Therefore, we are totally free to read whatever we feel like. Wo kalma juzbari mein tha, waha taraweeh ke baad kisi ke yaha bayan tha. تو میرے سامنے کوئی میرے پاس کوئی حضرت بیٹھے ہوئے تھے تو میں نے وہ 4 رکعتوں کے بعد اللہم صلی علی محمد سبحان ذی الملک والم یار ٹھیک ایزی مان وہ تو ہم مارنے کی ضرورت نہیں ہے مجھے لائک ٹھیک ایزی My brothers, this is the outcome of not studying the deen. You know, I'll tell you one thing. People say, oh, wo alim hai, but every mu'min, every believer should be an alim to a certain degree. Ye to simple se masail hai na, these basic rulings regarding salah, purity, etc. Our brothers who go out in tabligh, they say, it's obligatory upon every believer to gain that much knowledge through which he can live his life in accordance with Allah Ta'ala's pleasure. He should know the difference between pure and impure. He should know the difference between haram and halal. My brothers, we've not become alim. We've not connected with the tabligh effort, due to which now we've got to go to the alim for the most basic of things. This has happened. Is it okay or is it not okay? Should a normal mu'min believer not have that knowledge of Islam? So we can read whatever we want. Yes, but once it comes to this dua, if anyone reads it with this intention, that it's like any other dua I can read, then it's totally fine. The meaning of this dua is also good. But if we read it with the intention is established within the Sharia, it becomes problematic. And similarly, if there's someone next to us and he doesn't read it and we look down upon him, we belittle him that, Yaar usne dua parhi hi nahi taraweeh ki. This means in our minds, it's not a voluntary dua, it's wajib, necessary, or sunnah, masnoon, obligatory. Therefore, we are again in the wrong. So I don't say, mix it up. ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة كبھی پڑھ لیا کرو ربنا حب لنا من ازواجنا یہ کبھی پڑھ لیا کرو کتنی مسنون دعائیں ہیں قرآن میں کتنی دعائیں ہیں وہ بھی پڑھ لیا کرو اور ساتھ ساتھ میں یہ دعا بھی اچھی دعا ہے کبھی کبھار یہ بھی پڑھ لیا کرو کہ کوئی مسئلہ نہیں ہے فائنل تھنگ آئی مینشن آئی نیڈ ٹو ویل جسٹ کنٹینیو آن فائنل تھنگ وین وی ریڈ دس دعا آئی ٹولڈ یو دی انٹینشن اٹس ناٹ سنہ اٹس اے میہ دعا نمبر ٹو از Within this dua, the wording we've normally been taught and the wording we normally read is more than problematic. We normally say, Subhana dhil izzati wal azmati na'udhu billah. On the dhaa we read a sukoon. My brother's azmun comes in the meaning of a bone. And dhul, Subhana dhil izzati wal azmati na'udhu billah will mean that Allah Ta'ala has bones na'udhu billah. On the law, we are to read a fatha. Subhana dhil izzati wal azamati. Subhana dhil izzati wal azamati. Then it will indicate towards Allah Ta'ala possessing great magnificence and Allah Ta'ala being of the most exalted status. So I plan to mention many other things, but the message I'm trying to get across is that we all need to enhance our knowledge of deen in some manner, any manner we can. Whether that's going to a Darul Uloom, which isn't everyone's cup of tea, we sit with the Tabligh brothers, we enroll onto courses we can do, and we enhance our knowledge of deen. Why? Because if we never sat in this talk today, my brothers, and our mentality was, this dua is sunnah, and we read this dua with this intention, this would qualify as a bid'ah, an innovation within Islam, and this would not only be rejected in the court of Allah Ta'ala, this would be displeasing to Allah Ta'ala within the hereafter. May Allah Ta'ala allow us all to stick to supplicating to Him. May Allah Ta'ala allow us to frequently communicate and converse with Him. And all the du'as we make, may Allah Ta'ala allow us to make those du'as with our hearts and minds. So once we stand in the court of Allah Ta'ala, at least we know that this is the one I've got a connection with. Ye kahi na ho, ki hum Allah se na baat kare, na guftagu kare, na koi communication or rabta ho, aur akhirat mein jab hum kare ho, hum soch mein par jaye ke yaar ye kiske samne aaj kare ho gaye hai. Allah hum sab ko amal ki taufeeq naseeb farmaye. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.